This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake discuss wrestling in 2017 and what we're looking forward to in 2018. So Jake, I don't know if you've looked at a calendar recently, but Christmas is this week. When people listen to this, it'll be like 2 days away. That's pretty neat. If you're a Christmassy person, I'm looking forward to slightly less traveling than usual. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm staying in town, so I do not have a long trek ahead of me. I enjoy that.
Yeah, staying in town's the dream. I don't know that I'll ever get to stay in town for Christmas, but that's a life goal.
Yeah, do you have to go on the 405 and trek north or something? Or I guess I don't know where your holiday celebration is, but yeah, it's always looks fun. I always see the freeway videos coming from Southern California, and around Christmas time, it looks like everybody's jammed up for days.
Yeah, this year we got lucky and realized we had enough like points on JetBlue to be able to just buy flights to up north, so we at least get out of that and have to get rides places and things, but we save basically 2 days of our vacation by not making that drive up north, which is really nice.
Perfect. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
So Jake, I wanted to talk today about 2017 in wrestling, because that's a nice generic topic. This year, a lot of things happen, and I'm wondering kind of what stands out to you. It can be a match, it can be a moment, a story. What it actually stands out to you as we near the end of the year?
Well, I guess the people that stand out to me the most, I think, you know, if I'm talking about WWE, it's probably like Braun Strowman and his growth as a performer and how much he took off after WrestleMania, and I wish they would have, you know, maintained that momentum all the way through, but I think
maintained
they've done
that momentum. He's in a feud with Kane
Kane and back in another match with Brock Lesnar, so there's I guess there's something to be said for just how much he's improved and grown as a character and as a performer, and so that's at the top of my list of things that just really stuck out to me in 2017. Also, I think, you know, the long period post WrestleMania of Jinder Mahal sort of holding back the SmackDown brand, that was another big kind of year long endeavor that really, I think, made SmackDown a substandard show, along with some of their other booking issues that persisted throughout the year. You know, looking elsewhere, you know, it's hard not to notice what Kenny Omega and Okada and you know, the upper echelon of that crew in New Japan has been, you know, they've been doing great things. And I think, you know, elsewhere on the indies, you can point to a lot of really fantastic growth, especially in the UK and in Australia. I mean, there's just been a lot of really interesting developments in 2017. I can't say that the, you know, they've all been positive in just kind of localized to, you know, if you're in a WWE-centric mindset. But I think elsewhere in wrestling, there's been a lot of very good stuff in 2017.
Yeah, 2017 kind of feels like the year that what we all thought would happen with iPay-Per-View in 2009 has finally happened. Like, wrestling that isn't WWE is, in a lot of ways, just as important in the United States as wrestling that is WWE. Look at the success of the Young Bucks, Cody, like that whole Bullet Club, Kenny Omega crew. Their shirts are being sold right next to WWE shirts in Hot Topic, and I see those shirts out in public a lot more than I see WWE shirts.
Yeah, I guess that I haven't had that experience necessarily. I mean, I guess I haven't really made a point to go out to a lot of
local Disneyland a lot.
you probably have a better cross section of people than I do. Then I guess just from a casual fan perspective, I don't see the kind of penetration of indie wrestling culture that, you know, I think has been, I mean, you're definitely right. There's been an explosion of of the ability for people to make money outside of WWE, whether it's, you know, selling their own merch at Hot Topic or, you know, finding, you know, independent bookings that seem to be paying well these days. I think that is majorly important, you know, to the overall growth of wrestling over the long term. You know, people making money outside of WWE means that that isn't the only entry point into the sport or you know, into the craft. So that's huge, and I think that's only going to expand as time goes on and people, you know, find a niche that they really enjoy in pro wrestling. But I still don't know if we're, you know, if we reach the point where, you know, casual wrestling fans are going to be able to really tell you about Young Bucks or Kenny Omega matches. But certainly within, you know, this wrestling culture online, they've expanded their influence greatly.
And thinking of that, I look back at New Japan doing events in Long Beach this past year, and they're coming back, I believe, in March of 2018. And I'm really curious to see with them running a bigger building, doing a one night show, how things are different from how they were last year, what they're going to be putting together as far as the show goes. And I'm sure it will be really great. I'm hoping to be able to make it out to that again. But I also just wonder how excited fans are going to be. It's the second time now, and how into it people will be. And I mean, we're talking about 2018. We have those same wrestlers, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, those guys claiming that they're going to run a 10,000 seat venue somewhere in the country, which again is really, really different from anything we would have expected years ago, and a peak that indie wrestling has not seen, or even mildly corporate wrestling like Ring of Honor. So I think we've seen some expansion in the wrestling business, even if, like you said, it's not like when people think of wrestling and pop culture, they're thinking of anything but WWE. They're all still thinking of WWE in that way. Jake, you mentioned Braun Strowman, and I think he's been one of the insane highlights of 2017, a really, really great success story. When I look at 2017, Braun Strowman and some others caused me to think about WWE's missed opportunities this year, though. While guys like Braun Strowman got over huge, they ran into a brick wall that is a part-time wrestler. And it seems like this happened over and over again to multiple wrestlers this year. And I look at WrestleMania, and Jake, it would be like if stars from 20 years ago were still playing the exact same things in the exact same sort of movies. I mean, we've got Kane in a main event coming up at the Rumble. Why? What's going on here? And I'm all for legacy runs or kind of the gold watch runs, but I feel like Kane probably has 20 gold watches sitting around at home at this point. Like, it's time for some wrestlers to fade off into the sunset. And I think it's true of Kane. I honestly think it's true of Brock Lesnar. I think it's true of a lot of wrestlers that have had full-time main event talents in WWE sacrificed to them in ways that I think we'll look back on 2017 in 2 or 3 years and think about the missed opportunities of the year.
Yeah, I think there were quite a few, not just Braun Strowman either. You know, there was other people that were impacted by this because they just never got back into position to challenge for a title shot, you know, largely because Brock Lesnar has been this, this force to be reckoned with in terms of it seems like they have this plan in place or partly my imagination, but it surely seems grounded in some sort of logic that, you know, they've had Brock as champion since WrestleMania in order to have him carry that forward into next year's WrestleMania and put over their guy again. And I think, you know, that's been the story that they've been telling all year, especially with a lot of these matches ending in, you know, single F5 finishes. You know, they're clearly preserving certain things for a reason. And I think, you know, that's been something that has impacted the entire show, because we have seen, you know, people return from injury or from other promotions, whether it's like the Hardys or whether it's Finn Balor or Samoa Joe or Braun Strowman, you know, the people who have had major impacts on the show in 2017 have all been sort of shoved aside in order to keep that particular story intact. And I think it's been probably the biggest mistake on the Raw brand. I mean, if you were really doing what's quote unquote best for business, you would have probably had Braun Strowman beat Brock Lesnar for the championship when he had his first opportunity, or at least not done that match in the first place, or perhaps not given him a clean, you know, given Brock Lesnar a clean win. It seems to me that this this Royal Rumble championship match, you know, Kane is there simply because he's the guy that they need to lose that match. You know, you don't want to do another Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman match where he takes another loss because they're keeping Brock strong to lose to Roman at WrestleMania. So I think that's been the biggest mistake, you know, in terms of just the overarching storylines on Mondays. Tuesday we touched on the issues with
gender, gender show.
Yeah, and you know, there's the overall lack of effort on 205 Live. I think has been, you know, just a really big missed opportunity for the company in general. So there, I think, you know, WWE was basically, you know, shooting itself in the foot practically all year. They had some guys who were ready and who people were ready to cheer for and, you know, were ready to get behind, and they never quite got there because they were doing their own, you know, experiments and pet projects that just never quite took off.
Yeah, I think about how many guys in WWE are kind of waiting in the wings, and then I think about all of the women in WWE, and I mentioned with Jason how little TV time women got in since the Superstar Shakeup, despite, and we were talking about Raw, but it's something like women are almost 20% of the roster and have received about like a little under 10% of the total airtime on Raw since the shakeup. And it's really, really,
it's not just on Raw either.
I mean,
they've been jumbled together in a unified divisional storyline on both shows seemingly for months now.
And SmackDown was almost more egregious than Raw for most of the year going. And I'll give them like a little bit of an out on the first ever Women's Money in the Bank match. But then if I'm going to give them a pass on, okay, we'll just group all the women together into this, I've also got to give them a big old, really? Because they had a man win that match. And when they had the second ever Women's Money in the Bank match, yeah, a woman won. But they still had a man win the Money in the Bank match. It was, like I said at the time, something WWE would have never done with male superstars. And I will demonstrate that with the 50 ladder matches or so that happened in WWE before that one. And I look at that and I think about the opportunity that women are getting in 2018 to have a Royal Rumble match. And I'm happy about it. I liked what they did on Raw. I'm fine with Stephanie making the announcement because I recognize that WWE is not going to move forward unless it feels like a giant PR victory. And I'm willing to take the PR push of things to get actual progress. But I would also say, I hope WWE plans to actually have a progressive great match for this Rumble, and that it's not going to be the Junior Rumble booked by, you know, whoever booked the 2014 Rumble or something.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I really don't know what to expect from the match. You know, that's the thing that sticks out to me. We've seen quite a few women's battle royals take place on Raw or SmackDown for various things, and it just never stuck out to me as just like this barn burner of a match that I want to see take place. You know, if it's what they can do at times with the best Royal Rumbles for the men, which is, you know, create storylines through the process of having that match where, you know, people have rivalries and they have, eliminations, and then they have the consequences of those eliminations, or somebody comes back in and cheats and eliminates another person. You know, there's plenty of opportunity there to create storylines between individuals, because my biggest criticism of the women's division hasn't really been the performances in the ring or necessarily, you know, the way women are performing on the microphone. It's usually they're written rather poorly and one-dimensionally, and they're often jumbled together in 5 or 6 person storylines where they don't get to express any individual character traits. And I think the issue with what they did on Monday wasn't necessarily that you had Stephanie McMahon go out there and plant a flag in the ground and wave it around, you know, about the expansion of the women's division and how much they've accomplished and in a short period of time, and how much, you know, historical significance an all women's rumble has, because all those things are true and they're fantastic news, you know, compared to where WWE was just a few years ago with their, you know, divas division, quote unquote. So, I mean, those things are all true, but at the same time, you have all these women out there that are supposed to be characters that are suddenly just really enamored with Stephanie McMahon and forget about, you know, who they're supposed to be for a few minutes. I think that, you know, it kind of sucks me out of the show when they do things like that. But I think you're right. The good probably outweighs the bad, but there's certainly better ways they could have gone about doing it.
And I honestly think just not having it be a match and big brawl that happened right before it, but have Stephanie come out and say, "Hey, ladies, come on out to the ring. I want to, you know, I'm going to bring out all the women right now. I have a big announcement to make." And that would have been better. But I think that's nitpicky. And I listening to and reading a lot of tweets, so many people are upset about that. Or there are some who are even upset that a Royal Rumble is happening for women, or upset that there will be 2 Royal Rumbles on the same show. And to me, that's all just absurd. It's verging on the point of ridiculous, and I think some people really want to, at least in the wrestling community, gatekeep and make sure, well, yeah, but the women need to make sure they know they were given this and things like that. And it's frustrating and upsetting in a way. I think WWE took a couple big steps forward in their presentation of women in 2017, but they also took major steps back. Jake, how many pay-per-views did women main event in 2017?
Was it just the one?
It's 0.
Is it 0?
It's 0.
Why was I thinking that there was a...
In 2016, there was Hell in a Cell with Sasha and Charlotte in it. But women haven't main evented a pay-per-view since. Wait. NXT is progressive, right? How many NXT takeovers did women main event, though?
None that I can recall.
Yeah, no, none. They had women far away from the main event of takeovers. That kind of stuff really bugs me. That WWE, they made really big deals about the first time evers in fall of 2015 and fall of 2016 for women main eventing a takeover and main eventing a pay-per-view, but they don't follow it up.
It seems
with the
like
second
they do
time
it just
evers.
Is it just because it's self-serving? They can just they can put out a press release that says we did this,
and now no one wants that press release about the second time, but right. It matters when you're talking about how these shows are presented. I mean, I'd be one to say WrestleMania should close with a women's match this year, but I'm guessing WrestleMania will close with the 3rd coronation of Roman Reigns.
Which is, you know, depressing in and of itself. And not that I don't like Roman either. You know, I just
He's
think
great.
It's just a sign of how mismanaged his career has been, that we're at the point where, you know, you're going to do this again and it's not going to have the reaction they want. Like it just seems like it's done for spite, you know, rather than a reflection of, you know, the reality of their situation. So it's a shame to me that Roman isn't in a better situation, because I think he certainly has the talent to do so.
Yeah, I think he has the talent, and setting this up for a year is another one of those things that will actually hurt him in the eyes of a lot of fans instead of help him. But Jake, I want to ask you, as we draw this to a close and as we talk about 2017, and I'm sure we'll do more shows, probably a more formal, hey, best of 2017 type show in the next month. But Jake, I got to ask you, what in pro wrestling made you the happiest in 2017?
Honestly, what really drove me to continue watching wrestling was just, and I guess this is just a general trend in recent years and not ultimately specific to 2017, but like the general match quality, you know, whether we're talking about the independents or WWE or New Japan, is just so much higher than it was a couple of years ago that I think we've gotten complacent about taking notice of it. Like, it's, you know, you go back and you watch, you know, Raws or SmackDowns or, you know, NXT shows or whatever the case may be on the network. You know, go back 5 or 6 years and take a look at what the average match quality on television was. And it's just nowhere near where we are today. And so I'm optimistic about the future because I think the present is pretty good. And, you know, what we're getting out of, you know, the average wrestling matches is just an entire level above where we were just a few years ago. And I think that's only going to improve. And I think if the sport continues to evolve in the ring and eventually you find some creative talent that can meet or exceed, you know, the type of quality that we're seeing in the ring, it could be a magical time for wrestling and you know, when and if that occurs.
Yeah, that is that's a really great point. And I like that you picked a really big macro thing for what's making you happy in 2017. I'm going to go slightly more micro. That series of Omega and Okada matches, the three matches that they had at Wrestle Kingdom last year, at I think it was Dominion was the next one, whatever that June pay-per-view was, and then as part of the G1 in August, those three matches reminded me so much of what I love about professional wrestling. That they reminded me about the joyous athletic competition that it can be. It reminded me how great storytelling can work with a bunch of flips and stuff. Like, it really, those really brought it home just how good wrestling can be. And I look at those and I go, oh yeah, those, I will watch that trilogy multiple times in the next few years just because they are that great. And I think anyone who missed out on those, I think they've posted some of them on the New Japan YouTube. If not, go to New Japan World and sign up because, well, Wrestle Kingdom is coming with Jericho versus Omega and Naito versus Okada soon as well. But I'd just say anyone who missed out on those matches should definitely check them out and let us know what you think of them. Because I think, Jake, you and I were both pretty pretty loud in our praise of those.
Yeah, and deservedly so. It was a remarkable series of matches and one that will be difficult for either of them to top. They just have amazing chemistry together. Although, you know, maybe next time not so many drops on the neck. But yeah, that's neither here nor there, I guess.
Yeah, it would be very nice to see a few fewer drops on the neck. That's also how I feel about the next time Shinsuke Nakamura and John Cena have a match. So
certainly.
Yeah. I'm sure it's also how John Cena feels about that. But on that, we'll leave y'all for the year. We'll be back, what, Jake, probably first week of 2018 with a preview of the Tokyo Dome?
Sounds good to me.
Just sounds like a thing we'd do. So I'll definitely assume that'll happen. Have a good holiday season, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.